needed to be gotten to real easy, he'd stick it out there like that. I said, look, I really believe that people messing with our insides all the time, that's gonna irritate the situation. I think God knew what he was doing when he put those things out of reach. And I didn't take any more of those tests. The entire American system of advertising and all this is based on two things, really, greed and fear. Greed and fear. And boy, we start thinking, you know, we start fearing that maybe I haven't got enough of this, maybe I haven't got enough of that, maybe I need to join this and join that. Well, your Bible teacher can only tell you this. I don't have anything. I have no entanglements. None. The only insurance I have is what I'm required to have by law. Now, John, sorry about that. You know, but God will bring you plenty of heathens to insure, okay? They need it. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I do. Okay? You can't walk in what God has led me to. If you can't walk in that without doubt and fear, then you'd best not try it. Okay? But rather that God would bring you to a place where you really believe that no matter what happens to you, God's going to do it. Whew, I don't have to worry about getting sick because I got Blue Shield. Red Cross. I mean, I don't worry about being sick because I got God. And if I get sick and die, I went home. You know, I mean, the worst that can happen to me is I'll die and be with my Father forever. I mean, why should I worry about feeling here and feeling there in case I've got it? So God is telling us to make friends of our brothers by helping them with financial situations so that when our stewardship of what God has given us in this life comes to an end, that is, at our death, that we'll be welcomed by our friends. That we've shown them that our money was not as important to us as they are. Has that ever dawned on us? I hope so. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, quickly. So that receives seed amongst the thorns is he that hears the word, but the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and that person becomes unfruitful. Now this is the parable of the sower and the seed. And he says some of the seed fell amongst ground, and the thorns sprang up. He heard the word, but the cares of this world. Boy, the American system, the world system, wants us to worry. We start worrying. Pretty soon the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word that God put in us. We become unfruitful. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. About to read to you right now is just absolutely contrary to everything you and I have ever been taught. I mean, let's face it, either the television sets and all the advertising on the billboards are wrong, or God is. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. But wait a minute, how about my savings? How about my retirement? Hey, now I don't care what, at least once in your life you ought to get to hear the truth. And what you do with this, that's up to you. I don't have any. Okay, I don't have any. Because I read that and decided God knew what he was doing. Now, you can do what you want to do because let me tell you, I'm only your teacher and I'm not going to come knocking on your door and, you know, saying, okay, now, go get your bank book and see if you've been doing it. I want to see what you've been up to. I just want to free you to enjoy this life. Now, you got your choice. You can cling with whited knuckles and trust and rely upon worldly money and wealth and depend upon the things of this world. Or you can trust God. I'm going to tell you, it is so exciting God's way. I'm going to give you testimony. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Because you're always going to worry about people robbing you. And lose it. Oh, you check the stock market every day to see if you lost it. Gray hairs, ulcers. Sure. You say, Brother Floyd, you're not practical. Whoever said Jesus was practical? Not, you know, it's practical if you have spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see. Not to what we've been taught all our life. Nope. To the world system, this is stupid. Foolishness. So is redemption. If you don't believe it, go try and sell that on television and see if, you know, just see if that, most people wouldn't write you and say, that's ridiculous. Moth and rust corrupts. Thieves are going to break in and try and steal it. Man, we're always worrying about losing it. I ain't got anything to get stolen. I'm so relaxed. I know the stock market crashes. I won't lose a penny. So, you know, someone may jump out the window over it, but it won't be Floyd. General Motors collapse. I won't lose a thing. All the banks go broke. They just won't get a thing. I only got a few hundred down there, you know. Nothing in savings. Verse 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, that's the answer to your question. See, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. Where is our heart? Is our heart depending on anyone or anything in this world? Yes, God will minister to your needs through your husband. But really, if you're relying on him, man, God can take him home tonight. Then what are you going to do? You better be depending on God. See? Yes, Shirley believes that God is ministering to her needs through me, but she also believes, should I die and go home tonight, God just going to take care of her. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Oh. Now, come on, gang. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you really not done that this week? You know, I mean, hey, now, no raising of hands. We're not going to embarrass anyone. Don't take any thought of your life, of what you shall eat, of what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you will put on. Golly, I need a new suit. I wonder how I'm going to pull it off. The last time I needed a new suit, a woman called me up and gave me one. That was awfully nice of her. You know what that woman, that foolish woman did? She took the mammon of unrighteousness and made a friend. Oh, I pray for her a lot of times. You know, I mean, that reminds me. You know, every time I put that suit on, bless her, Lord. It does. I mean, I just can't help myself. It reminds me. You know, I say a little prayer for her. Look at verse 31. He said it again. Lord, these are hard sayings. Who can hear them? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or wherefore shall we be clothed? For after all these things the unsaved seek. You know, we've grown up with them so much, instead of us changing them, they've changed us to think like they think. There's not a person in this room who doesn't have a need tonight. Not a single one of us doesn't have a need. Whether it's to be loved more, whether it's for clothes, whether it's for food, whether it's for a better job, whether it's our marriage, it just really doesn't matter. Your Father knows you have those needs. Now, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll add these things to you. Well, my word. Take, therefore, no thought about tomorrow. Hey, now, that is not what you've been taught all your life. Obviously, the Lord would never make it in a good course in economics at the university. Right? Don't take thought about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You got enough problems with one day at a time. That's what the Lord says. And this whole chapter is teaching, hey, fellas, live it one day at a time. Now, I'd like to tell you a little story to drive this home from the Bible. Would you turn with me back to Matthew 19? For you to start with me at verse 16. One came unto Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do that I will have eternal life? So, our first story, number one, we see the rich young ruler. He's young. What shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, God. You know what Jesus is doing with him here? See, the Old Testament said there was only one that was good, Jehovah. Now this guy comes to Jesus and says, oh, good master. And what Jesus is really saying to him is, you know the scriptures. You just call me good. Do you know what you just said? You know the Old Testament says only one is good, Jehovah. Do you really mean I'm good? Jesus is confronting him with himself. When you call me good, do you realize what you just said? You just said I'm God. Do you really mean that? Think about what you just said, fella. You just said I'm God because the Old Testament says only God is good. Okay? Hey, he hit him right over the head with a sledgehammer, didn't he? He says, why do you call me good? There is none good but one. That's God. But he says, okay, I mean, that must have... I can see the look on this guy's face. He's reeling under the blow of that. You know, Jesus, all right, before that blows your mind too bad, let me come back to your original question. Verse 17, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which? Jesus said, well, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't commit adultery, shouldn't steal, shouldn't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbors yourself. The young man, he gave him some of the easy ones. One good God, do you really mean I'm good? Then fall down and worship me. When he saw the guy wasn't ready to do that, he now offers him the next plan. See, the guy said, what must I do? Well, friends, there's only one way for you to save yourself, and that's keep the law. So the guy asked for the law. Jesus offered him the law. He says, oh, you want to try the law? Okay, here's the law for you. That's what the guy said. How can I save myself? Jesus said, keep the law. And that's right. If you could keep the law perfectly, you could save yourself. But unfortunately, by the time you were old enough to read the law, you'd already broken it. So that meant you need a Savior. All right? And the young man said unto him, all these things I've kept from my youth up, what do I lack? Jesus said, well, if you want to be perfect, and that's what it's going to take to make it, the only way any of you are going to make it is to be perfect. And in Jesus we are. All right? Go and sell that which you have. Oh! Make friends of yourselves with the money of the unrighteous mammon and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard it, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. That's installment number one, the rich young ruler. That was yesterday in his life. Now let's pick this same guy up, same man, years later, today, present. This is you. This is me. There's been many times in the past that I knew God wanted me to do something financially. But I went away. Let's see if we can find the second installment of this story. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He's gotten a little older. He was a young man in here, but now he's gotten a little more mature in age. Jesus said unto the people, take heed, watch out, beware of covetousness, because a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And so he told them a parable, saying, now the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room whereby to bestow my fruits. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater barns. There I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. In other words, beloved, the first thing that came to his mind was to hoard and not to share. God has blessed him bountifully, and instead of sharing, it didn't even come to his mind. Share? I think not. I'll save for a rainy day. I'll save for early retirement. Well, let's see what the Lord says about that kind of scheme. You're going to see that God really doesn't go for what we've been taught and what we're doing. And I will say to my soul in verse 19, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of thee. Then who's going to get to eat the food and spend the money and drive the new car and the swimming pool and all that? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Beloved, bigger barns, bigger savings, instead of sharing, why are you working? Hey, men, why are you working? You say, well, to provide for my family. Good. That is a duty that God gave us. That is a responsibility. It's a blessing. It is a duty. It is a responsibility. It's a blessing. It's an opportunity. Before I give you the finale of this man's life, I'd like for you to all turn to Ephesians in chapter 4, 28, about the 12th word. Let him labor. Let a man labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, so that he may have to give to those in need. Let a man work. For what purpose? So I can retire, or when I die, I can leave a huge estate? No, that isn't what it says. Beloved, is that really what your object is down there at the job? Yes, God told you, wants you to work to support your family. But has it ever occurred to you that one of the main reasons God gave you that job was so that you could, with the mammon of unrighteousness, with worldly wealth, share with others. That's what God says to us. Well, let's see the end of the man in our story up here. We start off with a rich young ruler, want to get right with God, back in the past. But God said, you've got a God already. Your money. See, the rich young ruler's problem was he was not keeping the first commandment. He didn't love God, first. He loved his money first. He was covetous, which was the 10th commandment. But his real problem was God wasn't first in his life. His money was. Years later, it's not really the same guy, but you know what I mean. We find an older man, and his idea was to hoard, to save for that rainy day. God took him home that night. Well, let's see the last part, back to chapter 12, or rather, back to chapter 16 of Luke, where we started for tonight. 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. He laid at the gate. He had sores all over him. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The man was so weak he couldn't even fight the dogs off. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Now let's see what happened to him when he was dead. He was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. What a contrast. The rich man also died and he was buried. And in Hades, and it's not hell there actually, nobody's in hell yet. In King James time when we translated, there was only one word in English. There are three words in the Greek, and this is the Greek word Hades, the place where the unsaved dead are. In Hades, he lifted his eyes up and he was in torment. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, do you remember that in your lifetime you received many good things? Lazarus suffered many evil things, but now, he is comforted. And you are tormented. Beloved, same man forever. Same man forever. Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6? About middle way down in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Verse 5, about middle way, says, many suppose that gain is godliness. Hey, that's common teaching today. It's very popular. Well, that's what Job's friends told him. You lost all your money, boy, you must be wrong with God. Golly, he inherited an oil well. He must be really right with God. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's a blessing and maybe it's a test. I'll guarantee you it'd be a test. It says, many suppose that gain is godliness. From such, draw yourself away. Now, it is true that God would love that all of us would be healthy all the time and rich. God would like to bless us like that, but He loves us enough to know better. God knows each one of us, and He knows our walk, and God knows that a lot of us in this room, if we got rich, it would ruin us. God knows that many of us in this room don't have the walk with Him that we could handle great riches. And He loves us enough not to let us have it. Others of us in here, God feels like we need that test. He already knows how we'll handle it. It's for us to see. I thought I was so right with God and close to God and had this real close. And all of a sudden, I inherited this fortune. And the first thing that came to my mind was to give. No. Not quite. The first thing that came to my mind was 5 new cars. Tour the world. You know, and on and on and on, you know, and on and on and on. My great need for a big yacht and my need for this and need for that. Hey, boy, we can think we're really close to God until all of a sudden we've got enough to get in trouble with. You bet God would like for you to be healthy all the time and me to be healthy all the time. It'd be wonderful. But God knows that sometimes the only way we'll listen to him is when we're flat of our backs. Now, I don't mean it's the only time. God does a lot of things with our infirmities. Sometimes our infirmities that we have now are a matter of sowing and reaping from the past. Forgiven for what we did in the past, but we're still sowing from it. Other times, God wants to give us the opportunity to talk to somebody. The wisdom of God, he knows what he's doing. See, I trust my dad. That's what I'm trying to get y'all to see. Trust dad. If you end up down at the hospital, just be expecting, be excited. Boy, I can't wait to see what Father's going to do. It may just be that he wanted you to sit down and shut up, get quiet, and be still long enough to read his word or to talk to him. Or maybe there's somebody in your room that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they may not accept it, but at least at judgment they can't stick their finger at our Father and say, you never gave me a chance. I never heard the gospel. God will say, yes, I did. I sent an angel right in that room with you one day. I don't mean a literal angel, but a messenger of God. That's what the word angel means in the Bible anyway, is a messenger from God. Verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Right there, beloved. You know, hey, I'm not anti-labor union. I mean, that's just what God says. You and I have been taught all our lives to be dissatisfied with what we had. God says, no, I want you to be satisfied with the things I give you. You'll never be content. You get a raise or get a promotion, and if you're not applying, letting God apply the things of his word to our hearts, you'll just be miserable within 2 months. You can get the biggest raise you ever saw, and you'll learn how to spend it real fast. And in nothing flat, you're starting to think about another raise, another promotion. God says, that's right, and you'll always be unhappy because you'll never be satisfied. Mary's got a bigger car. She's got a mink, and I've got Mouton. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, if that comes out, you know, that you interpret that to that I'm against this or against that. No, I'm for what God says. I am for what God says. We brought nothing into this world, and it is absolutely a positive thing that you're not going to bring it, take anything with you when you go. Verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it didn't say money was evil. Ooh. See, in the story that we read earlier, what it was talking about was what we rely upon and what we depend upon. It didn't say money was evil. God says you can do good things with money. You can give it. You can share it. Yes, God says, I want you to take it and meet the needs you have. It's the love of money. That's what's the root of all evil. Which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Verse 17. Charge all those that are rich in this world. You say, well, you're not talking to me, Brother Floyd. I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. There's not a person in this room by world standards that isn't rich. You go to India, and you're going to find out you're rich. I don't care. Listen, I don't care how much money y'all make. You are rich. I don't care how much money y'all have. You're rich. I don't care how much money you have. You're rich. And I'm rich. I've been all over the world. I've seen them live in their squalor. I've walked down the streets in Bangkok and Singapore and smelled nothing but human fecal matter. It's just they live in a dung heap over there. You are rich. The Chinese. You just take the Chinese and the Indians from India. Compared to any of them, we're Africa. We are rich. You know, we call someone poor because they don't have a color television set. They only have black and white. So this verse is to you and is to me. Charge those that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Now trust in their uncertain riches. God says, I give and I take away. I can take that money away from you and nothing. Hey, give it of your own free will cheerfully or sweat over it and watch me let you lose it. You know, and be nervous the whole time. But trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. that they do good, that they may be rich in good works, that we would be ready to distribute, ready to give, willing to communicate. You know what the word communicate there means? See, that's an archaic word. We don't use the word communicate to us means to talk, you know, pretty much, or to comprehend. But the word, when this was translated in 1611, was had a different connotation. It means to share, being willing to share. God says this, we should be willing and ready, looking for opportunities to share. Parting shot for tonight. James chapter 2. Chapter 2, I want to begin with you at verse 15. A brother or sister is naked, or destitute of daily food, and one of you says unto him, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and be ye filled. But notwithstanding, you don't give them the things that are needful to their body. What good did that do you? What good did it do? Hi, Charlie. Sorry to hear you lost your job. God bless you. We're praying for you down in my house. Did you ever think about writing him out a check for $100, $200, sharing with him what you've got? Your brother's down. He's out. Verse 26. Just like the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works, it's dead too. I've got great faith, Charlie. I've got faith God will bring you another job. God bless you. We'll see you, Charlie. Chapter 5. Verse 3. Money, your gold and silver is cankered, cancerous, and the rust of them will be a witness against you. Ooh, did anyone really see that? Did anyone really see what that said? Some of us have a lot of money back there in savings. God says, yeah. And it's getting musty and dusty and mildewed and drawing rust. He says, that same rust is going to witness against you someday. And so when God says, you had an opportunity to share with your brothers and sisters, and instead you hung on with whitey knuckles and let it get rusty. And that same rust will say, I didn't want to get rusty. I wanted to be able to be transferred into someone's hands. You know, it doesn't get rusty that way. When we're sharing, you know, PL, it gets moved around a lot and it doesn't draw rust and mold that way. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 9. 1 Samuel 2, 7 and 9. The Lord maketh poor. Oh, I thought with all this modern teaching it was the devil that did it. The Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. He brings one down low, and he lifts you up. Verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints. He'll do it, whether you're rich or poor. All right, beloved, what did we learn tonight? Let me tell you why God laid this on my heart to share. I just got through speaking with a man that it appears he's going to be very, 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 very wealthy. And the first thing that came to his mind, he called me up and said, Floyd, I want you to get a group of men together that love God and know his word and will not deviate from what God says. He said, I'm a steward, and it appears that I'm about to become exceedingly wealthy. And the first thing I want to do is make sure that when we give, that it goes where God wants. That I have the absolute mind of God. I want brothers to get on the floor with me and pray that God will make sure this money goes where he wants it to go. He says, I want to make certain that's the first thing that came. He's got a 1973 car. Now, you'd think, you know, that this is 78. I mean, I know he's got mileage on that car, right? That one of the first things that would come to his attention is to tend to getting himself a new Continental. But he quoted this scripture to me. And when he did, it just, boy, I mean, just, make unto yourselves friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. So that when you go to the heavenly habitation, your heavenly home, these people will be there to welcome you. Wouldn't I feel a little bad going up in the rapture with $450,000 in the bank account with Christian brothers and sisters all over the world in need? missionaries in need. Just your next door neighbors in need. Hey, are you willing to open up your house to people that need a place to stay? Not too long ago, a young boy came to our house. Met him one night here at Totsam about 6 weeks ago. We talked for a few minutes. About 3 weeks later, he called me, and we went out and played some tennis. A few days ago, he came to my house. He says, I've been sleeping in my car the last 5 nights, and last night I was reading the Bible, and I thought about you, and I'm here. And I said, well, you're not going to sleep in that car tonight, because we got a bed. Now, he told me this. I've got an apartment lined up. It's going to take me $290, you know, to get, they want money in advance and everything. I've got to have $290 before they let me have it. Now, let me tell you this. Learn to be in the Spirit. I could have given him the $200. He already had $100. He needed $200. I could have given it to him. I had it. But you see, I discerned in the Spirit that that wasn't what he really needed. So they were going to hold the apartment. What that young man needed, really, was some loving. Today we gave him the money, but not until we kept him in the house and loved him for 6 days. See, that's when it was time. We knew, you know, today was the day. Today he got the money. There's a better story than I left it at. He's going, actually, in the morning down to Florida to his daddy, who he hasn't seen since he was 2 years old. And his daddy's been looking for him for 4 years. And today, they found each other. It's tremendous. Now, here's the question. Now, look. Hey, I've made a friend of a brother. He was already a Christian brother. But now this young man, he's 19 years old, is a friend for life. You know what I mean? Hey, I know he's going to pray for me. I mean, look at the blessings I'm getting for nothing. You know what I mean? I mean, I got guys, you know, I know when that guy prays, he's going to remember me and my family. You can't beat that, gang. You know what I mean? Here, what an opportunity. Now, I didn't do it for that reason. It just happens to be a fringe benefit. And I'm laying up for myself treasures in heaven with old junk money. What's money for? Isn't it to give? I mean, isn't it just to get something done? Now, I know for some of us tonight, you know, boy, there's thoughts in your mind about, oh, Brother Floyd, do you want me to do this? Hey, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to do anything. Boy, listen, I'm not going to let you justify yourself through me. Oh, I'm going to fall for that trap. I can just see many of your minds right now, well, Brother Floyd, what about? And how's that? Oh, that's between you and God. No, sir, you don't answer to me. I am only a servant of the living God. Don't make the rules, and I don't guard you, you know, and I don't watch your souls like that. All I'm doing is telling you how to get blessings and enjoy this life. Okay, good. She asked about the word korban in Mark. C-O-R-B-A-N. All right, that's in Mark in chapter 4. All right, let me tell you the story real quickly. There was a, Jesus is talking, and here's a problem that's come up. God says in the Bible, honor your father and mother. And hey, it doesn't say till you're 18, till you're 21, or till they're 50. It says honor your father and mother. I might add this, fellas. Hey, gang, the Bible says a man should work 6 days and rest one. And it doesn't say till 65. You want to know why so many older people, you know, are becoming vegetables? Because they retire and turn on the boob tube. Man, you want to know how to just, you know, you just want to know how to reduce a human mind to becoming a vegetable. Sit there and watch television for hours. You know, it's getting where the commercials are the dirtiest parts. Am I against television? No, I'm not against anything. I'm for Jesus. I ain't got time to be against things. I'm not against sin. I'm for Jesus. Jesus is against sin. I'm too busy with the positive gospel. So God said you're to honor your father and mother. And here's what the people were doing. Their dad and mama, they were destitute. They were getting old. They couldn't take care of themselves. They couldn't run the farm anymore. They could, you know, daddy was getting weak. Maybe he could only operate things for a couple of hours a day, and he ran out of gas. He was tired. And so I got money. So I say, sorry, Dad, I can't give it to you. I gave it to the church. Now, that's what Korban meant. The Jewish tradition, see, not God, the Jews developed a tradition. Says, now, all you got to do is tell your dad and mom it's Korban. That means I took the money that I could have helped you with and gave it to the church. I can just see his $10 offering down at the church. You know. And they were trying, so that was their justification for not honoring their father and mother and meeting their needs. Let me tell you how I think the Bible teaches, very simply, Christians. It is an honor, a privilege, and a duty for me to take care of the woman that wiped my nose and changed my diapers when I was helpless, when they get old and helpless. And I know that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. It is a duty, it is an honor, it is a responsibility, it is a privilege. Sons and daughters ought to be fighting practically over who's going to take care of mom this week and dad this week instead of which one of us ships them off fastest. Let me tell you why most of us don't feel that way. Number one, we're not right with God. Right, we're not letting the love of, you know, we're squinching off the love of God. We'll let it flow. Number two, quite honestly, a lot of our moms and dads are reaping what they sowed. They didn't love us when we were little. And so now, many times, we don't feel very close to them because there was no attachment. There was no real attachment. And if your heart is such that you're looking for opportunity to give, well, God will see to it that you get that opportunity. Now, I've talked mainly tonight about money, but hey, it's not just money. We're talking about stewardship. That's of everything you possess. Your time. Hey, what God really wants is you and me. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Let's not go through the rest of our Christian walk letting heathens know better about dealing with heathens than we know about how to deal with our brothers. If we'll deal with our brothers according to the teachings of Christ, we'll have friends and not just brothers. I want my brothers to be my friends. In blood covenant, we are members of the body of Christ and we have all things in common. That is not your house. If it's your house, you may lose it. I'll guarantee you if you've turned that house over to God, you won't lose it. If it's your car, then you got to worry about it. If I'm trying to make you my disciples, then I've got to answer your prayers. Since I can't handle that, I'm trying to make you Jesus' disciples, now it's up to Him. Make for yourselves friends out of your brothers with the mammon of unrighteousness. It does work. I know. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would keep our priorities straight. Father, we know deep down in our hearts that every one of us at one time or another in our lives have fallen prey to the system and the teaching of the system that we're so fearful you won't take care of us. We trust in everything else but you. Father, you say you've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And you have taught us tonight that we're to share with those in need and not run from those in need. And that we're to care about our family, our intimate personal family and our larger family, the body of Christ. Father, share the reality tonight in our hearts that you don't want us laying up for ourselves treasures on this earth. But that if we'll live one day at a time, when we step into that heavenly mansion, there'll be brothers and sisters applauding our arrival. Thank you for the opportunity to share worldly wealth with others. In Jesus' name, amen.